It was with a message of hope that Pope Benedict ushered in the new year, a message of anticipation of the good things and the peace that mankind can accomplish if it demonstrates the will. In his traditional January discourse to diplomats accredited to the Holy See, the Pope described diplomacy itself as the art of hope. And perhaps more importantly, he said diplomacy must give hope.
La diplomatie est, dans une certaine façon, l'art de l'espérance. Elle vit de l'espérance. Et cherche à en discerner même les signes les plus ténus. La diplomatie doit donner de l'espérance.
Pope Benedict spoke of the enthusiastic welcome he'd received from Brazilians during his visit there last year and noted what he described as eloquent signs of hope for Latin America in the economic and social spheres, though he said there were some reasons for concern. Well, Chile's ambassador to the Holy See, Pablo Cabrera, spoke to us after Monday's discourse.
The art of diplomacy has a lot of goals, and one of those, the key one, is to be committed to reach those goals with hope. Therefore, hope is the center of the diplomacy today. That's why the Pope is quite right, telling the international community to have hope in order to reach those goals that the mankind and humanity needs to receive rapidly. That's why it's a matter of all governments, all countries, to work together, to get together and work together towards those goals. And to have hope that this means you are working for something. As long as you are working for something, in this case it might be peace or must be peace, that implies that we have hope for peace. That's why I appreciate very much what the Pope said, in particular as in Latin America, a continent in which the peace and hope as there are two leading concepts on which we base, at least in Chile, I can talk for Chile, at least in Chile, we base our economic and social policies that the government is implementing. And during a long time, for a long time, those hopes and those lines in our policies are very much in line to the social doctrine of the Church. I think those principles are within our spirits, within our legal system, and still we have hope to maintain them in order to reach progress and peace.
Lebanon's ambassador to the Holy See, Naji Abiasi, called the Pope a keen and experienced observer of global issues, who is urging international leaders to take action to curb the world's many conflicts and problems before it's too late.
Pope Benedictus XVI has a very clear mind and a comprehensive strategic view about the global issues facing humanity. This strategic view is based on wisdom, historical knowledge and experience, as well as on moral and spiritual considerations, far from any partisan interest. What the Pope is saying, this is how we view the problems confronting the world. This is the best way, from our point of view, to solve these problems in conformity with the New Testament and with our shared commitment to pursue the common good. Of course, the Church has no coercive means to impose its message, but it remains that it's up to the governments, to the leaders, as well as to the international organizations, to take the proper decisions and the historic choices on due time and not in the aftermath when it's too late to reverse the course of events.
Thank you. In his discourse, Pope Benedict noted in particular the international community's deep concern about the Middle East, but pointed to the hope offered by the Annapolis Conference. United States Ambassador to the Holy See, Francis Rooney.
I think it's great that, given the fact that President convened the Annapolis meeting and the Holy See was included at the request of the United States of America, and now he's going personally to the Middle East, that the Holy Father would have virtually started his discourse with Israel and Palestine. And the fact that he supported the concept of Annapolis as an abandonment of the partisan and unilateral approaches, and he called for a truly global solution that respects the rights of legitimate rights of all the different constituent parties. That is wonderful to hear. I think that goes hand in hand with what was trying to be achieved in Annapolis by having a lot of countries participate that have been reluctant participants in the past, and to recognize the need for a legitimate Palestinian state which doesn't threaten the peace and security of Israel at the same time.
It is reassuring to notice that His Holiness the Pope has put the emphasis on the necessity to abandon partisan or unilateral solutions in favor of a global approach, respectful of the rights and legitimate interests of all the peoples of the region, which means not only on the Israeli-Palestinian track that should be, of course, pursued, but also on all tracks.
The Pope appealed to Israelis and Palestinians to implement the commitments they made in Annapolis and expedite the restarted peace process. And he urged the international community to support both peoples and to understand their respective sufferings and fears. Pope Benedict then spoke of Lebanon, wrecked by a recent war between Hezbollah and Israel, and a series of political assassinations, bombings, and political uncertainty after the repeated failure of the government and opposition to elect a new president.
Comment ne pas être proche du Liban dans les épreuves et les violences qui continuent à secouer ce cher pays?
Who can remain unmoved by the plight of Lebanon amid its trials and all the violence that continues to shake that beloved country, he said. The Pope said he earnestly wished that the Lebanese will be able to decide freely on their future. Lebanese Ambassador Abi Assi again.
Concerning Lebanon, the Pope referred to it as beloved country. He expressed the wish that the Lebanese people will be able to decide freely on the future, which means free from threats and pressures. But at the same time, he reminded the Lebanese, beginning with the leaders, that they should put aside particular interests and pledge themselves to the path of dialogue and reconciliation to become once more an example of the peaceful coexistence of different communities. And this is a real challenge that we should all be able to meet.
The Pope, who spoke of the need to resolve conflict, poverty, and social injustice across each continent, was challenging the international community to take effective action, not only on these, but to satisfy every man and woman's legitimate aspirations to food, water, energy, medicine, and technology.
His words are like always, they're a real call and a real challenge to remain focused on the impact of our actions and our power on the human dignity of people in the world and on the architectures for peace, development, and prosperity in the world. And the United States is a big country and has a lot of influence in the world. But as you say, the Pope's addressing the entire world, and there's a lot of other countries that have similar stakes and opportunities for influence. When the Holy Father talks about natural law being the basis of legal systems, and in the two paragraphs later, he's talking about some of the horrible things going on in various parts of Africa that are virtually lawless, and then he talks about promoting human dignity. Well, all those things tie together to say there's got to be some better ways. And I think President Bush's call for a lot of that certainly in the context of Africa as well.
Pope Benedict urged the international community to not just proclaim, but to put into practice the universally recognized human rights and to defend the cornerstone of those rights, religious liberty.
I think that the United States is uniquely positioned to show the world what true religious freedom can bring about through the workings of our First Amendment. We've been fortunate enough as a country to start with a clean canvas, to have the church and the state basically separated because there was no country in existence. And so to start with the First Amendment that says, let all religions flourish, don't stifle any of them. And often that's been talked about over here. Even the Holy Father mentioned to me one time about how wonderfully the First Amendment's worked in the United States to create opportunities for religious pluralism and people to develop their faith. So, you know, we're kind of a special country for that, and hopefully that we can spread that gospel, if you will, a little bit, and some other countries would realize that they don't have anything to fear from religion, that the state has nothing to fear from religion, and nor does religion really have anything to fear from the state if they're both allowed to do the things that they can do. It's kind of like the, you know, Caesar under Caesar's kind of situation.
Pope Benedict will be traveling to the United States for a pastoral visit this spring. Besides a brief sojourn in Washington, D.C., the Holy Father will be going to the United Nations, headquartered in New York.
It's exciting at many levels. First of all, obviously for Catholics, it's exciting to have the Holy Father come to the United States. But it's also exciting for our country to have the Holy Father come and meet with the president. If not the, it's certainly one of the only times a pope has ever been to the White House, maybe the only time. And I think that's reflective of the great values, protecting religious freedom, promoting human dignity, of family, of life, etc., that the President of the United States has vigorously defended. And I think the pope appreciates that. And, you know, they had a great meeting here in June. And so this opportunity to highlight these very important global issues can't help but raise the bar. Just as it's hugely important that the Holy Father and the President have a chance to showcase these important issues that both of them have demonstrated an unfailing commitment to, it's equally important that the Holy Father go to the UN and carry the message the same place. And, of course, the UN has a much wider reach than just speaking with the President of the United States, and a different kind of reach. And there's all kinds of elements of the UN, some of which have more or less symmetry with the views of the Holy See. So it'll be very interesting to see the Holy Father speak to them.
U.S. Ambassador Francis Rooney. And earlier you heard Naji Abiasi, Lebanon's ambassador to the Holy See, as well as Chile's ambassador, Pablo Cabrera.